afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery can get you pretty much anything you want. John Deere products, Honda power products.
PG&E shuts off your power.
That's right, and that's coming. They have a full line of the Honda generators on the floor and ready to go. Also, they're a newly assigned steel products dealer, so if you want to do some landscaping, get in there and see them. They have everything from chainsaws to weed whackers. So go in and see them. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Lots of choices.
Lots of choices.
You can go there, call them, look them up online. But then ultimately you have to go there to pick the stuff up, so you might as well just go there.
That's right. Just go by it. Yeah.
Just go there. So the first – all right. So I should back up. You can find everything about our show, 10 years of archives that are free for you to listen to, where our salutes to capitalism have been taken out. We commonly call those commercials. And so, you know, in about an hour and 40 minutes, you can learn a whole lot. You could find that at wethepeopleradio.us. You can also catch us Tuesday nights on channel 23.7 on the America Uncensored Network here in Redding, California. And Robert has been feverishly trying to get our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans, up on Skype so that we would have video for those folks so they wouldn't have to just watch Bill and I be knuckleheads and sit here and listen. Not very tantalizing, but the material is amazing. I hope that you will forward this to your friends. These are the topics that we cover are things that require time. You have to get in depth and you have to spend some time. Otherwise, these can't be done in like 3 minutes. And we all know that what's going on in the media right now, radio and TV really is very short, burst interviews that are very superficial and don't really get into anything.
Maybe 30 seconds and you got the whole story.
Yeah, which we all know is not workable. So we've done quite a few shows on South Africa and the parallels to what's going on in the United States historically, all the way back from the beginning. So, you know, they fought the British just like we did. And if we would have lost to the British, might have looked like South Africa. Our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans, has done a wonderful job of chronicling all that in his wonderful book, Amabulu. And that is on our website, on the page for July the 5th, 2020. Thought it was fitting for an Independence Day program to talk about some of the things that are going on that basically threaten our independence. And I know a lot of people are worried. They're not really sure if they should be worried, but they are worried. Is there anything they can do? What are they looking at? Will this stop? Does it keep going? Is this the 60s over again? I mean, I think everybody's kind of up in the air with this whole thing. I think that Dr. Booyan's information will kind of maybe set your feet on a course. We have a lot of pictures that we're referring to today. There are 13 of them. They are on the website for you at the bottom of the July 5th page, and they're numbered. And as he's giving us the information about them, I'm captioning them in time. But I hope you'll go look, because the roots of this whole Black Lives Matter thing and the toppling of statues and all that started in South Africa. Big shock. And so we'll continue on with that story. And I believe we are up to...
I think we're on number 10.
Oh, picture 10. And that's where it really gets like, you could be looking at here. I mean, you could be looking at our streets here lately. So
I just want to add that I don't think as good a school as Oxford is, apparently they don't have a spelling department, because the...
The sign. Yeah, decolonized. They had a little problem with that.
Yeah.
They do have a problem.
Just
there's a problem.
Far be it from me, as the Dutch-derived guy from the bush in Africa, but colonialization, you know, there's one L there where they have two, if that's what you're referring to.
No, it's good. Oh, did we shut him off?
Uh-oh.
Oh, good. We moved you onto Skype, so now you sound totally different. But you sound louder, so that's wonderful.
So hopefully the sound is better, but unfortunately when we got the sound to work, the system refused to accept my high definition camera, so now we're stuck with this grainy looking thing.
Oh. Well, the radio people will never know.
So the last thing I mentioned was about demanding that the statue be removed from Oriel College. And I said that that same Ntokoza Kwabe guy was involved, and I asked for picture number 10. Can you just confirm for me what you have as picture number 10 there at the moment?
We have the Black Lives Matter protest guys, a whole sea of people wearing masks and carrying signs.
Ah, so that's number 10. Do you notice a young white girl, I'm not sure whether she's wearing a mask or not, but she's holding a sign with a word that you don't know?
Yes, I did notice that. What is that?
That word is pronounced footsack, but it is used in the following fashion. You look at a dog and you tell it footsack.
Hmm.
And it works. I tried it in New York, in Westchester County, not far from the Clinton's place, and the dog ran. So it is the standard thing that everybody uses in South Africa to tell a dog to get lost, and I will get a big dog to run away by just telling him, footsack.
And it's spelled V-O-E-T-S-E-K, but it's pronounced like your feet, like footsack?
Yes, because the V in Afrikaans is pronounced as an F.
Oh, okay.
So, footsack. And double O in English is O-E in Afrikaans. So it is F-O-T-S-E-K.
Ah.
Footsack.
Okay. And then they put their the guy that everybody loves to hate, including all of us, Cecil Rhodes, on the...
Yes. Mm-hmm. So footsack Rhodes. Treated like a dog. Whoever that is knows South Africa. So there are South Africans in the street at Oxford yelling Footsack Rhodes while studying at the place that he helped to, you know, carry the upkeep of. And some of them, including the guy who created the Rhodes Must Fall effort, has a Rhodes scholarship. Okay. So if you think you can reason with these people, forget it. If you think you can be nice with these people, forget it.
Well, we've heard that same thing from several commentators that you can go along with them for the moment, but eventually they'll come back around and you will be the target. And we've seen that several times already. One in particular was the mayor of Seattle, I believe.
Which one? The one that thought they were going to have the Summer of Love while they were burning her town down?
Yeah, they. She was going to have
there
the Summer of Love.
A lot of dumb mayors.
Yeah, and they loved her for that. And then they turned right around and went after her own home.
Oh, yeah, and that was also, I think, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they did the same thing in Washington. Yeah, so you're right. That you can't reason.
There's no buying your way out of it.
When are folks going to understand that the methodology is to keep probing? The first thing, if you go read up about, let's say, the Comintern or the entire communist operation, the little book for how do you proceed. It is push the limits all the time. Never stop pushing. Never stop probing. Push all the time. If somebody falls, go over him, push at the next one. Okay? And anyone who thinks that this is going to go away by being nice is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, all of that picture that you see there is actually from this week. But in 19 January 2016, they were already in the streets at Oxford. On 29 August 2017, wait. 14 August 2017. the Confederate statue was pulled down in Durham, North Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go check the date. So that's picture number 11.
All right, Harry, before we move on, let's take a really quick break. This first one always comes at us kind of quick. We will be right back with our guest, Dr. Harry Bouillons. I hope you join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We have some terrific pictures that will go along with the program today. I think will give you a quite an education. Be right back. We're back. We're experimenting with music, Skype. You have no idea how much stuff's going on. You really should tune into the American Uncensored Network and watch the television version. Too bad we don't have cameras turned around so we can see what Ashley and Robert are doing, running around like chickens with their heads cut off in there. Very exciting day.
There would be some interesting faces from in here.
Probably have to mute it too a little bit. Do like the little exclamation points in front of your mouth. Yeah, there's a lot going on today.
Harry, on picture number 11, tell me again who that was.
Yeah, they look like a cheerful group.
Durham. What? Or Durham, as you guys would say.
Okay.
Durham?
North Carolina. That was a bunch of students. I think it was the first occasion in the U.S. that a statue came down.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if it was on federal property, because otherwise... then they could be posing for their prison picture, but it wasn't.
But this was back. This was when, approximately?
That was 14 August 2017, according to my notes.
Okay.
Just a while back. This was that first run they made on the statue toppling.
So the guys that are running these people... we're still exploiting the Trayvon Martin and the Ferguson experience.
Ferguson,
they
the
were
gentle
still
giant.
Feeding off that, you know?
Yeah. And Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Mike eventually petered out, yeah, with arms that never went in the air. the stuff I notice. There's a picture that I did not send you, but it was going to be a quiz, and it shows guys looking like soldiers on vehicles, armored vehicles with V-shaped hulls. You see a lot of smoke and stuff. And, of course, that's South Africa 1986, except that it's not. It's Ferguson. And I've talked to you before about what happened in Ferguson looked to me just like what we experienced in 1986.
And this is 12? Is Ferguson?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So I've lost track of what number 12 shows, but I wanted to get to another point first.
Sure, no problem.
So after that Durham, North Carolina thing got pulled down, I wrote my article on 29 August 2017, and it's worth repeating what I wrote then, and it's in the article that you link on your website. I wrote there, "Today they will tear down Robert E. Lee, perhaps tomorrow Thomas Jefferson, next week Abraham Lincoln, and then George Washington, and then every statue of anyone who looks Caucasian, just as in South Africa. Welcome to America Must Fall." And then I take you back to where we started today, and my question is, welcome to South Africa. Are you enjoying it yet?
Yeah, because every one of those...
It's scary and it's icky.
Every one of those statues you just mentioned is under attack right now. I know the ones that are on federal property, they're having to put fences around them and put guards on them, and just to keep them from tearing them down. Because, well, just today, I see they tore down another... Christopher Columbus statue.
That was yesterday already. They tore Columbus down and threw the statue in a pool, I think.
Yeah, they threw it in the river or something, yeah.
But that was Baltimore. I mean, you kind of expect something's going to go wrong in Baltimore. It's destined to.
Yeah.
Right? Fraught with problems, I believe, is the term we're looking
for. Do you want me to actually give you the numbers of the avenues in New York where it's going to happen?
Oh.
I'm sorry. It's the reality of the United States. Don't forget, I lived there.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be, and I think people are realizing that maybe this isn't going to blow over like before. And that it has a much more revolutionary, it's a much more well-funded, well-coordinated.
Oh, it's very well-funded right now. I mean, they even have nationally funded television ads right now for their movement.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously they have deep pockets that are funding all of this.
It's interesting, though.
It wouldn't be Georgi Schwartz, would it? Soros.
Yeah,
Soros.
Sure.
There you go.
Our friend George Soros.
Yeah.
Well, that, and we learned, and I guess I should mention that next week we're going to have Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Claire Lopez back on to kind of tie up what we were speaking about with the funding and the forces behind all of this, because you see the flag. I never noticed it before, but after they said that, I see it everywhere. It's the flag with its three horizontal stripes, red on the bottom, green in the middle, black on the top. And they have them at all these protests. And it did kind of cross my mind early on. I thought, how'd they already get a flag? That's kind of weird. Takes kind of who invented it? Do they have a vote? I mean, how do a bunch of crazy people lighting things on fire have a flag? So
do they have yellow, black, and green in there?
Well, they've got the green. See, it's red on the bottom, green in the middle, black on the top. So the red obviously is the communists, and the black is your Black Lives Matter, your Antifa, all that. But the green stripe was the one that kind of had me going, because I figured maybe that was like the wacko environmental guys. No, that would be the Muslim Brotherhood and Hezbollah and all those folks who have joined together with the communists. Normally they don't like each other, but, you know, if they're going to overthrow America, hey, we might as well all be friends. So,
well, if you have black, green, and yellow, you've got the ANC flag of South.
I know, and that kind of freaked me out too. Yeah, because that's the what is it? African National Congress.
Congress.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. On
Mandela's operation, the guy that's treated as a saint in your country, while he sends his guys to bomb my mother.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And throw boiling oil on them and everything else. And for the people who don't know that's happening, we've got literally 11 episodes of this show under the tab of South Africa where Dr. Boyens has laid this out in really great detail. So if you still think Mandela's a great guy, I would encourage you to go back and look at that, because you've missed a large chunk of history that is currently at our door.
Now, I sent you two more pictures, and you have the advantage of me, because I don't know what numbers 12 and 13 show.
Well, let's see. We've got 12 is the Roads Must Fall on cardboard, and then the Black Lives Matter sign, and then the We Cannot Understand, But We Must Stand.
Yeah. So what I wanted you to see is the fact that Black Lives Matter and Roads Must Fall are run by the same crowd. Do you see that?
Yeah. Yep. And where is this picture?
London. Well, Oxford.
Oh, this is at Oxford.
This is Oxford.
Huh. Wow.
Okay. So do not attempt even to tell me these things are not wired together. Do not attempt to tell me that they don't beget one another.
Right.
It's the same people, guys. Okay.
Well, and it just shows that the Black Lives Matter movement is not an isolated movement to the United States.
Yeah, sure. It didn't just show up, and it isn't just about. And here we have people donating large sums of money, painting it all over the streets. I think they're painting it all over the basketball courts
because it's about George Floyd. So,
yeah, nice try.
So here's the peculiar thing for me from where I sit. You cannot get a more anti-colonialist country than the United States. I mean, it's built into the national DNA. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
America has done some profoundly stupid things because it is such an anti-colonialism country. Like, I'll give you an example. The Suez Crisis in, what was it, 1956? Sorry to tell you, but the U.S. was on the wrong horse in that case. Why? Because it saw Britain and France getting together to help the Israelis to stop Nasser in Egypt. And the sort of knee-jerk reaction of the United States was, those are colonialists trying to do their colonial thing again. That's not what it was about at all. But that's the U.S. It is hyper anti-colonial. It is founded on that idea. That's what you fought a war of independence about. Okay? It's in your DNA as a nation. So how is it that the folks now finding fault with everything that is the America from 1619 to today, because they're finding fault with all of it and everybody who built it, how is that, which is so anti-colonialist, how is that being tarred and feathered at the same time by the same people as who are going after the arch-colonialist who ever lived, Rhodes? How are you in the same bucket with him?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to explain that to me, because these young people have their lines crossed, and what needs to be researched here is what is going on in people's minds when they throw all that together. Because the only thing I can find is a white face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true, because, but see, everything, well, like Christopher Columbus, I mean, they took down Father Junipero Serra because mm-hmm. he was a missionary, and that was bad. I don't know, it just seems like everything is bad. There was a clip on when the president was up there in Mount Rushmore, and they had this guy on the news, and it was from the Lakota Sioux tribe, I think, or the Lakota tribe. I guess I'm a little weak on the connection there. He was saying that the president wasn't allowed to go there because he was trespassing on their land, and he needed to give it back to them immediately.
Of course.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that'll work. I don't know. We've entered a very strange place.
You're in the place where I have lived mm-hmm. all my life. When I have spoken to you guys over the past several years, it is from this bucket of hell that I spoke to you. This is what I've lived. This is what was done to us. And the Western world cheered it on.
Yeah, the place that makes
and
no sense.
The U.S. is on the receiving end of that which it perpetrated on us. I'm sorry if I sound like,
Harry, hold that thought, because when we come back, I would really like you to explain that, because for the people who really don't know, I mean, obviously we can't do the whole history again in 2 seconds, but the part where everybody is cheering your demise and now we're in the same spot, I'd like you to expand that a little bit, because I think that's really important for people to understand, and it may cause folks to go back and look at what has happened to South Africa so they can look at our future at the same time. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio, and you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
Harry, you're going to tell us there isn't one too, aren't you?
What is that?
Need a hero.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, that's bad.
It is.
So from the perspective of South Africa, when things really started to go, I mean, I realize it was a long period of time, but when the really heavy anti-white sentiment started, the rest of the world was thinking that you guys had enslaved these people, stolen their land, and it was about time they got rid of you guys, I think.
Well, yeah, that was
in a nutshell.
That was the America point of view, yeah.
Which was totally false, because in South Africa, blacks were not enslaved. They were not there when you got there.
I cannot possibly repeat all of that. That's 10 shows worth.
I know. But,
I will tell you this. Here's how I experienced it. I was, first of all, let's put the record perfectly straight here. There was a policy called apartheid in South Africa, and more than that, it was, it's not so much that it was evil, it was dumb. And sometimes I think stupidity is the true evil. There's no ways it was going to work, and there's no way you're going to basically keep all these people happy by a policy that looked like that. But in 1979, I appeared as a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed young postdoc in New York. And, the day I arrived is when the mafia boss got shot. It was all over the news, so you can imagine my impression as I arrived in New York. It really is the way the movies say, you know, is the mafia being killed in the street and restaurant, all that kind of stuff. But I learned to keep an open mind, listen, learn, etc., etc. And I soon realized that the U.S. is struggling with a really poisonous mix that it has to sort out. The one aspect that, yes, there was a history of actual slavery. But there's also a long history of a sense of guilt. These two things don't mix well. They create a problem. And I thought people were doing their level best to get beyond all of this and make it an equitable society. I dealt with quite a few black Americans. I got on real well with them. They were closer to my way of talking and doing things than what the white Americans were, in my opinion. Anyway, but at the end of a year, we were homesick. We wanted the blue skies of South Africa. New York is not exactly famous for blue sky.
It's no, only not really.
You get a blue sky. So, we used to be able to see the horizon, and seeing the horizon is important for us. And in New York, you can never see the horizon. So we wanted to go back, and at the time, there was a new guy running the country. His name was P.W. Botha, and he was rapidly removing all of these really nasty laws. He was leaving some of the stuff intact, like who could vote and who couldn't in the central government. Everybody could vote. It's just who could vote in the central government. The really malicious stuff he was getting rid of. And it looked like, okay, right, things are coming right. Excellent. So we went back, and that's when I discovered that it doesn't suit a communist organization that things should improve. Because if things really improve and it has to be acknowledged, then they lose the impetus for their entire effort. So in the 1980s, while things were being improved for black people in South Africa, and I was quite hopeful at the beginning, suddenly the whole world switched onto us and started making insane demands. I have a book here by the guy who was then the Deputy Secretary of State for Africa, Chester Crocker. And he didn't like Afrikaners like me. He made that quite clear. But even he said, this is crazy. It seems like both parties in America are trying to outdo each other in kicking South Africa around. And it would actually be Senator Lugar, who's a Republican. He drove the effort at basically tearing up South Africa's loans, tearing up its credit card, all of that kind of stuff. He is the man who destroyed South Africa's economy. And all of this was done to a crescendo of your media yelling and screaming abuse at us. It was just awful. While I could move around the U.S. quite happily as a visitor in 1979, when apartheid was still bad, in 1986, when there was almost none of it left, I couldn't get through a front door of a place. High-tech companies would refuse to receive me. They would have me sit in the reception area and come out to talk to me and then shoo me out the door. Yeah, stuff like that. I was clearly a representative of an enemy state. And what was done to us back then is what you're experiencing now. It doesn't matter how hard you try to do the right thing. Something else will be found. You will be attacked. You right. will be sledgehammered. You will be driven into the ground. You will be assailed in every dimension of human endeavor. And if any of the black people dare to stand up and defend, they were killed. They were tortured to death. They had tires put around their bodies, soaked in gasoline and lit up. And all you need right now is for some black woman in America to stand in a stage and yell, with our matches and our necklaces, we will liberate this country. That's all you need at this point. And that was Winnie Mandela.
Wow.
And she was hailed in the United States as the mother of the nation.
Someone who is advocating that you put flaming tires around people until they're
yes.
burning them
so
to death.
There has always been a media disconnect in the United States. We were far away, right? We're like 10,000 sure. miles away. You can say anything about the white South Africans. There's nothing they can say back to defend themselves. They're too far away. They're not hearing what's being done to them. They don't understand that they're being dragged through the toilet. They're too far away to comprehend that they are being destroyed as a nation. They're just trying to go about their lives as ordinary, decent folks. But that's not going to happen. That's not acceptable. They have to be painted to be pigs, and everything about them will be attacked. Everything about them will be sullied. Okay, and you are experiencing the first little dribbles of that.
Well, when saying all lives matter is considered racist, you know we've entered the labyrinth of insanity. You know, how do you avoid that?
So, you know, for me there, I went back to South Africa to see the country turned into a nightmare. My own mother's apartment building was bombed twice. The second time they almost got her. The first time they killed some other women and children. And the guy who placed the bomb said he placed it there because he knew there were a lot of white people.
But that's not racism.
That's not racism. Or as one of the ANC members said, black people cannot be racists. And I am waiting. I'm going to take a clock and hold it up in front of you if I can find one now and tell you, I'm going to keep this clock here and wait for the moment that the American black person says that.
I think it's kind of already happening. You have people like Candace Owens and Jesse Lee Peterson and all sorts of you know, Thomas Sowell. You've got all sorts of Black Americans who have spoken out against this, and even Morgan Freeman, who I don't really like all that much after I heard he didn't feel the need to keep his dogs in. And when they ran out and got killed in the street, it was just because they were dumb, so he just got a new one. It's like, okay, I don't like you anymore. I've seen interviews, old ones and current ones, where he has said the way you get rid of racism is you stop talking about it instead of highlighting it more. And just there have been many, many people who've spoken out, and yet they are really demonized. That's truly the bottom rung of the ladder, are those folks.
Yeah. So, you know, from where I sit, it, like I said at the beginning, I'm not clairvoyant. I can promise you I have no particular other powers. And I'm not hugely intelligent. My wife is more clever than I am, more intelligent. I can prove it. I mean, as I always joke with you.
You're an aerospace physicist, so if you're not intelligent, we have no hope.
I competed against her at university. I always lost, and so I did the only honorable thing left to a guy, and that is I took out the enemy by marrying her.
On that note, we have to take a really quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Harry Booyans.
You know, that's how things are human down there.
Never. I know, and we like it because it makes sense for us. We're a good venue for you. We all speak the same lingo. We'll be right back. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Song anyway.
Yeah, darn them. We're doing some experimenting. Needless to say, that experiment failed.
On your own dime. Come on.
Bill's over there with nothing. Bill's got his giant ice drink and a tablet. That's it. We need to give Bill more jobs. I'm wearing two headsets and Ash is in there running around.
Messing stuff up. Come on. So Harry, what do we
look for next?
Yeah, what's coming next? I know.
Let's do the spoiler alert.
You were spot on in 2017 on what was coming down the pike, and it's now happening. What can we expect? I know a lot of this is happening because it's an election year, and politics plays a huge part in a lot of this. But what do you see?
Yeah. You know, one has to get past 3 November 1st because the election in the U.S. so completely warps the natural progression of life.
Oh, it does.
It's difficult to plot it. But there is one way in which this picture is different for you guys than for what we lived. You see, South Africa's white population is about a tenth of that of Canada, and Canada's is about a tenth of that of the United States. And therefore, when the United States takes a hand in things and it sneezes, everybody else gets pneumonia. So if the U.S. tears up your credit card, you're sunk.
Mm.
Now, and that's the thing that completely broke South Africa. It wasn't Russia that broke us. We chased the Russians out of Africa. Okay? It was the United States who broke South Africa. And like I said, you know, the Republicans can't wash their hands of it. They had a hand in it. In fact, they led it. They're actively did that. But now, so the point I'm trying to make to you is where the paths diverge to some degree is in the fact that there is no other huge big entity that can lean on you. There isn't a country that has a 10 times greater population other than China, and there's no way they can influence you that way. But there isn't a United States that has 100 times your population and that can tear up your credit card. Yeah. So the path will look different from here on. But I can tell you this. If you don't understand that you are in a fight for your existence, I don't know what more I can tell you. You know, you need to understand that these people will stop, they will stop at nothing. And it's exacerbated at the moment by the Democratic Party, who is so desperate to get rid of Trump that, quite frankly, they will cause the Third World War to get rid of it. They will drive Russia to the point of going to DEFCON 1, you know, whatever it is, if they can just somehow nail him. They have lost all sense of proportion. They have lost all sense of justice. They've completely corrupted the FBI to the point where I don't think a sensible, decent human being can trust the FBI anymore. It's terrible what they've done. The problem is, there isn't somebody who can come in and fix this for the U.S. It's going to have to wake up, understand what it is up against here, and understand that its own youth is being turned against it.
Yeah, and
you
that's
need
really
to get
clear.
Your kids back, particularly these little girls who still haven't grown up. You know, Aaron, you got to forgive me if I'm going to get rather brutal on this subject.
No, it's okay. I usually go there first. And the boys act like little girls now, too, so let's just not put too fine a point on it.
The point is this. As soon as there is a child in your life, you start getting some degree of perspective. You start worrying about the safety of the child. You start worrying about a future that's not just yours. There's all kinds of things that change, not just in women, but also in men. Suddenly, there is something greater than you that you are responsible for. And that's true everywhere. And at the moment, there are just too many young women running around, you know, in political causes with placards, and they are worse than the guys.
Yeah.
I want the young women roped in first. I'm not suggesting they get sent to re-education camps, but can I suggest that their fathers go and get them, take them home, and hold them while their mothers slap them in the face?
There you go. Let's get serious about this. Well, for heaven's sakes, how do they have time? I mean, I look at this. I look at them, and who's got... I don't have the money or the time to run around and invent a fake country that encompasses three blocks. Not that I want to, but I mean, I don't have the money or the time to do that. So, you know, somebody's got to be holding the purse strings, and I'm guessing in large part it's the parents.
You need to understand that the young males are performing for the young females. The young females are really calling the shots, and somebody's paying them from behind. Now, someone's going to have to get hurt, and you cannot allow those kinds of, what do they call it, the chairs or whatever, and the chop. And,
yeah, which day?
Okay, it depends on what day you're looking at it.
Yeah.
I think the important thing to understand is that the people there have to be humiliated. I'll say that again. they have to be humiliated.
Yeah, because taking them porta potties and cleaning up their mess for them, I think, you know, it's funny. Somebody told me really early on in this, and I thought, you know, that's a great encapsulation of it. This is what happens when everybody gets a trophy for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, we get this. And, you know, before we run out of time here in like 2 minutes, you had also sent me in an email about someone that you were talking to who understood that this was all very, very off track, but had such a hatred of the president that they could hardly be rational.
Oh, yeah, several people. I mean, I had a situation. I went to the A&W, man, of all innocent places, and I walked past this lady. I had spoken to her before when she had some friends, and she's in her 60s somewhere. And she made some comment about President Trump. And I just said, oh, gee, ma'am, I don't know, you know. Those are my words. Gee, ma'am, I don't know, you know. And her eyes went like saucers. And she stood up and she said, oh, Lord, don't tell me you're one of those people who support him. I'm getting out of here. I cannot stand conflict. I cannot stand conflict. I got to get out of here.
In the grocery store?
In the A&W fast food restaurant.
Oh, A&W. Sorry, I was thinking A&B, the grocery store.
No. And she's, you know, you're talking about a lady in her 60s, and yeah. She's behaving like a snowflake.
Wow. Okay.
I haven't even started an argument yet, and she's running away. And the best friend of my life, he's a U.S. Democrat, and it's he who instilled the love of the United States in me. It's he who caused me to have respect for the preamble. And, you know, that one that Biden struggles with so much.
And all that.
Seems like the guy from the bush in Africa has to come and tell him about, you know. Yeah. He also started going like that. And I just told him his name's George. And I said, George, for God's sake, you know, what is it? What is so evil about this guy? He lies. He lies all the time. He lies. And I'm listening, and I can't figure out where the lies are. I hear exaggerations. I hear self-promotion. I hear bombast. I hear all kinds of things.
You're in New York?
Where are the lies? And, you know, I spent time in New York, as did my friend George. That's New York.
It is New York.
It's absolutely New York.
Yeah.
I tried to drive there. And I tried to do so without leaning on the horn of my car, and I realized that doesn't work. So the moment I learned to be loud and aggressive, everything started working.
It all took shape. Oh, yeah. My gosh, Harry, we are flat out of time. And I can't even believe it again.
Is this where I apologize for my haircut at the moment? I call it the Boris.
No, God love you. All right. Well, I guess you can't hear our Only in America song, but just pretend it's playing. And happy Independence Day to the folks in the U.S. And for everybody else listening, better hope we don't blow this deal or you're next. Thanks for being with us.